I just wanted to, this morning, just to encourage us, after the song that we sang, Lord Lifting Us, it made me think of when the Lord was on that that sea, when he lifted Peter out of that sinking, and he was sinking. And I wanted to look at two aspects of this. One, the Lord Jesus, how he reacts to us in crisis, and how we should react. And we know that the world is in crisis. You know, as we look at the television, as we see it seems like every time we turn on the television, or we turn on the computer, or we look on our phone, it seems like it's a time of crisis. I don't usually get scared with a lot of things, but I have to be honest, I was scared when this whole pandemic came up. And it was a reason why, I'll tell you why, I went to see my doctor. My doctor scared me. He said, don't go back to work, stay home and stuff like that. And so it was really a thing of fear for me. And the Lord really brought this scripture to me. I'd like to encourage us with this. It's in Mark chapter 6 and verse 45. And we're going to look at a couple of these things. And again, this is not a story that everybody probably knows. We've known this from Sunday school. And so it's just a reminder and encouragement to us. And so it says, and I'll read through it. It says, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethesda, while he sent away the people. And he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, and the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he coming unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. And when they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, get his eye, be not afraid. And he went unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And here, I just want a couple of actions here the Lord Jesus Christ did, and I hope we can use this as encouragement. The first one I want to touch on is that it says that he sent them away. And the Lord Jesus Christ has sent us away in a sense. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. The Lord has sent us into this world to be a testimony, to be a testimony for this world. As the world will get darker, we're supposed to be a standard. So he has sent us into this world. And so it says here, away, he sent us away into this world. But it says, he departed into a mountain to pray. And it's encouragement to us as we read the book of Hebrews. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest interceding for us up on high. And I think this can be an encouragement to us, is that, even though he sent us out, he doesn't send us out alone. I'm saying he sent us out and he's interceding for us. We have a great high priest who's looking after us and interceding for us. And it says, and when the evening was come, and the evening here, my understanding was like when the sun was setting. This is the state of the world is in right now, that when the sun starts to set, it starts to get darker. It gets harder to see. And I believe this is the state of the world today. The world is trying to move farther and farther away from the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's starting to get darker. It's starting to get very, very dark. And we see the way things are changing. When we look at the news, when we turn on the television, when we turn on social media, we see that the evening is coming. And it says, they were in the midst of the sea. And I want to just use the application that the sea here can speak of the sea of life, but also can speak of the world. We're in the midst of the world today. When we turn on the TV, when we go to work, when we drive in our car, we're in the midst of all this, right? We're in the midst of all this. But it says, the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 48 said, he saw them. And so even though we're in the midst of this world, even though we're in the midst of all these things, the Lord Jesus Christ is looking at us. He sees us. And so sometimes I know, when I was growing up, my parents used to always use this, I don't want to say it in a negative way, but they used to say, the Lord God sees now. Make sure I'm not doing anything wrong, or a thing. But also, when he looks at us, it's a loving look. It's a look of caring. is look at he is invested in us. He loves us, right? And I just imagine it as when my kids are playing outside, I'm always looking at them on the camera. They don't know sometimes, but I'm always looking at them on the camera, making sure they're doing the right thing, or I would go check on them and stuff. But I always want to keep my eyes on them, right? If they're at the park or what's not. And so the Lord Jesus Christ has a loving look. He's looking at us and he's invested in us. He's saying, you know, I see you. I see what you're going through. And he says he saw them and they were toiling. And my understanding of this word toiling is that it's not just that they were rowing hard and they were trying to get to the other side, but also the toiling is a mental, it was like a mental thing that they were going through. It was very mental exhaustion. It was something that it was affecting them mentally, it was affecting them physically, is that they were scared, right? And I know many a time we find ourselves in this position that we're mentally and we're physically tired of things that are going on in this world. I mean, I was on social media and looking at everything that's going on. And my wife would tell you, I just went in my bed and slept till like 12 o'clock. It was like, I was just mentally exhausted from seeing all these things that are going on, seeing all these, you know, people with these angst and these fighting and everything that's going on. And it was just mentally exhausting. And it says, and they were rowing, and the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night. And so here, two things I wanted to look at was the wind was contrary and the fourth watch. Is that the world is always going to be against you. It's always going to be contrary to whatever you believe in. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the opposite of the world believes in. Any standard you have, whatever you hold, is the opposite of the world. The world is getting more and more contrary. It's trying to blow you the other way. And also it says the fourth watch. This was the darkest part of the night. And this is where the world wants to blow us. He wants to blow us. He wants to keep us dark. He wants to put us into their darkness. They want us to continue to go back to where we came from. But when we see the wind is contrary and it starts to get dark, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to them. And that's the encouragement we can have, is that whenever we find ourselves going through dark times, whenever we find ourselves, the world is being contrary towards us, the Lord comes to us. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. At that time, the world was contrary to them. The world was trying to, you know, take care of them and take them into darkness, right? Bow to these idols. Do what we tell you to do. But the Lord Jesus Christ stood with them in that fire. When we think of the Apostle Paul, when he went through all his trials and he went through all his tribulations, he could have said, all men forsook me, but the Lord stood with me. It's just a calming thing when you feel the Lord's presence. When you feel the Lord's presence, when he comes to you, you know, whenever you're reading, whenever you're spending time with him, you can feel his presence. You can feel him talking to you. And the encouragement that we can have in this world, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he sees us and he can come to us in that time of need. And it says in verse 29, it says, and when they saw him walking upon the sea, And just the statement, him walking upon the sea. It's impossible. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is a miracle. You know what I'm saying? You know, and that's the thing that Lord Jesus Christ can do when we're in crisis. He could do the impossible. You know what I'm saying? It's sometimes when we try to put God in a box or in a finite thing and say, well, he only could do this based off of our understanding. But the Lord is trying to show us he's above every problem. He's above every crisis. He's above everything. He can walk over everything because of his power and who he is. And he came to them walking upon the water. The same thing that they were fearing, that's the same thing he's walking on. And he's telling them, you know what? I don't have any fear of this. And that's the encouragement we can have, is that when we go through these troubles, the Lord Jesus Christ is above all these things. He has conquered this world. He says that. And it says that, as we go on, it says, for they all saw him and were troubled, and he talked with them. And that's another thing the Lord Jesus Christ does. He talks with us. It's so good to know that we have this resource, the Word of God, where he can talk to us. At night when we're scared, we can open up our Bible and he can give us a verse in need. To know that we have a God that we can talk to, but not only that, we can talk to, but he talks to us. And he can calm our fears. And this is what he told them. He said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And it reminds me of another part when he says in John chapter 16 and verse 33, he talks about these things I have spoken to you, that you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's another good cheer. Is that he's telling us be of good cheer because he has overcome this world. And I think this statement right here, him walking on the water, is showing us that he has overcome this world. He has conquered it. It's finished, right? And he doesn't, these problems can't affect him. And he's walking over these problems and he's telling them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. He doesn't even have to tell them who he is, right? Who else can walk on water? He said, it is I. That's all he has to say. It is I. Be not afraid. And that's what the Lord came to me and he told me in the night. And when I was afraid, he said, be of good cheer. He said, don't be afraid. You know what I'm saying? You know, is that sometimes we as human beings, we are afraid. You know what I'm saying? We're afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow. Sometimes we're afraid of, you know, things with our children or different things that are going on. But the Lord is saying that he's watching, he's looking, he's coming to us, he's talking to us. These things that we can have encouragement with. And he says, he went, in verse 51, it says, and he went up unto them in a ship, and the wind ceased. And to me, this is just encouragement, is that we can't do this Christian life on our own. Right? We need the Lord Jesus Christ guiding the ship. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. Basically, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, you know, it's not that we're living, but it's Christ who's living through us. And I think we have to come into the good of that. We have to give the Lord control. We have to let the Lord control. Let him come as he came into that ship. It says all the wind ceased. All the wind ceased. It's that we can't do it on our own. All the striving, all the toiling, everything that we may be doing on our own strength, the Lord is saying, stop. You know what I'm saying? Just stop. You know, just be of good cheer. Be not afraid. Let me take control. And he said, as I take control, the wind ceases. The problems stop. Hey, and let me tell you something. At the same time, sometimes the problems will not stop. But we can know that as the song we sing sometimes, with Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm. You know what I'm saying? We can smile because we know we can be of good cheer because he has conquered the world. And the next one is in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, this is the same story, the same Jesus walking on water, but this gives a different account. This gives an account from our point of view. Here we're looking at, we looked at the Lord, how he reacts to us when he sees us in times of crisis, but also how we should react. And here I'll read from verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed at the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, the spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them and said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And then when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said to him, O thou of little faith, where didst thou doubt? And when they were come to the ship, the wind ceased. And they that went in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And here, I want to use this portion an application to us and to unbelievers also, is that they saw the Lord walking on the water. And I want to look at what Peter says. And Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And the first part I want to say is, bid me come. Is that the Lord is, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a personal relationship. Peter didn't say, bid us come. He didn't say, you know, bid John come or somebody else. He said, bid me come. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to have a personal relationship with us. The way that he can encourage us is as we spend time with him as friend with friend, we can be encouraged by his word. And my encouragement to all of us is that for us to have a personal relationship with the Lord, this is any unbeliever who may be listening, is that the Lord is calling you, but you can't look at the crowd. You can't look at who else is there. The Lord is saying, wants you to say, bid me come. Bid me come. I wish I can save my children, but I can't, right? They have to have their own personal relationship with the Lord. My father, the same thing. I can't rest on his salvation. I have to have a personal relationship with the Lord. So the Lord is saying, so Peter is saying, bid me come. And he wants all of us to come and have a personal relationship. But also it says, unto thee. Unto thee is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he calls you, he's not calling to a system. He's not calling to a church. He's not calling to a brethren. He's not calling to a Baptist church or whatever. He's calling you to himself, right? So he wants that personal relationship, and he's calling you unto thee. Unto thee is the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to come to him. No other person can save. There's no other person amongst men whereby we can be saved. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying, come unto me. And then he says, on the water. It takes faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, by grace we are saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, right? And so we have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. On the water. That's what it was. It was by faith. He had to step out the boat. You're saying, if he had stayed in that boat, maybe he would have experienced this, right? And the Lord Jesus Christ is calling us to himself. He's calling us to have a personal relationship yourself, but he's also calling you by faith to step out and believe in him. And I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ can change your life. He's changed mine. I can tell you that. And he's calling you to himself to have a personal relationship. And let me tell you something. It's a wonderful relationship. To know that whenever you're in a crisis, a time of trouble, you can call on the Lord Jesus Christ anytime, wherever you are. You're saying, and you can have encouragement through him. And so it says, the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter says all these things. And he says, he just says one thing. He says, come. There's no stipulations, right? You know, I may tell you to come to my house, or I think by said, you know, you got to bring this, you got to bring plates or forks or whatever. I tell you to come somewhere, and I'm telling you all these different things you have to do, right? The Lord just said one thing, come. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how you look. It doesn't matter your creed. It doesn't matter your background. The Lord Jesus Christ just wants you to come, right? The encouragement I always find is, he says, come unto me, you know, those who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. They were tired at this time. They were tired. They were scared. They were toiling. They were doing all these things. The Lord Jesus Christ said, come. That's all the stipulations you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, come. He says, believe on him. Believe that he died for your sins. Believe that he rose again. You know what I'm saying? And Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says, if you believe this in your heart and you confess with your mouth, that you shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. All you have to do is come. That's the most beautiful thing. I would say, well, you know, you come out the boat, but make sure you walk this way or whatever. He just said, come. And then verse 29, it says, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to Jesus. And that's a beautiful thing. The Lord Jesus Christ is calling us. It's a rough pathway and a narrow pathway to Christian life, but it's coming towards the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always towards the Lord Jesus Christ to be with him. And that's a goal, right? I mean, imagine walking somewhere, and through the pandemic, my wife always wanted to go on walks. I used to always say, where are we going? We just walk into the neighborhood, walk into the neighborhood, walk into the neighborhood. I felt like we weren't walking anywhere. Then we'd come back home. The beautiful thing about this is that we're walking towards our goal, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're walking towards, we have a goal, we have a focus. And it says here, it says, and when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. It didn't say he saw the waves. It said he saw the wind. How did he see the wind? And I think this is the thing that scares many of us believers. Is that when we see the troubles that we can see, we say, okay, I know how to navigate this. I'll do this, I'll do that. We have an answer for everything. But it's always the things that we don't see, you know, the future, right? We look into the future and we look and say, well, how are we going to do this? How am I going to get this job? Or how am I going to move here? Or thing? We start to look at things that we're not supposed to look at, right? Things that are unseen, and we start to look at things, and that's where fear comes. The Lord doesn't want us to look at those things. He wants us to put our trust in him for tomorrow, for the things that are going to come. It's when we start to look at things that are unseen, right? And we start to contemplate these things, we become afraid. And he said he began to sink. And he said, Lord, save me. So I want to apply this to us as believers. Once you're saved forever, right? So I want to get that straight. There's no, we don't believe in saved or lost. We believe that you're saved for all eternity. But here I believe he's saying, Lord, help me, right? And sometimes we need to cry out for help. Sometimes we need to come to the end of ourselves. We need to realize we can't do this on our own and saying, Lord, help me, please. And the Lord stretched out forth his hand and caught him. And to me, this is like a loving gesture, right? When you cry unto him, it's a loving gesture when he's holding out his hand towards us and drawing us into him. And he caught him. And he chided him, but he stretched forth his hand and caught him. And that's the thing, is that the Lord is always there. Whenever we cry for help, you know what? I may cry for help, and you know what? Somebody who I may be dear to may not be there to catch me, may not be there to help me. But the Lord Jesus Christ sees everything, and he's always there to catch us. He's always there to stretch forth his hand. And I think of it like a good shepherd, right? Is that when the good shepherd sees the sheep, right? He comes and he takes it by the hand and brings it out of danger. He takes his hand forth and he brings it up, right? Or like a child, right? I didn't want me to hold their hand anymore. But when they used to cross the street, I used to always hold their hand and, you know, make sure that they're out of danger, right? And so this is the kind of loving hand that the Lord Jesus Christ stretched forth his hand with. It also reminds me of fellowship. The right hand of fellowship, we always speak of things like that. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to have fellowship with us, and he stretched forth his hand towards us. And it says that, again, they would come into the ship, and the wind ceased. And I believe that the only thing that we can do when we go through these things is in verse 33. It says, and they worship him. That's the only response I believe that we should have when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he not only done for us, but what he continues to do for us. We should worship him. And not only worship him for what he's brought us through, but they worship him because of who he was. They said, for a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came unto the land. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought him unto all them that are diseased, and besought that they might only touch the hem of his garment, as many as touch him would be made perfectly whole. I was talking to somebody, and they were saying, we need to change the world. We need to change the world. We need to do all these things. We can't change the world. But I believe that we can change people's hearts by when we bring the Lord Jesus Christ to him, when we worship him, when we have a personal relationship with him, it affects other people. It says that when the men at that place had knowledge of him, are we spreading the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere we go? Are we telling people of him wherever we go, at our jobs, at our communities, wherever we are? Are we telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ? Because the knowledge of him, it says they sent off to all the country round about and brought to him all that were diseased. There's a lot of people diseased around here. And I'm not talking about the pandemic. I'm talking about sin. You're saying there's a lot of people who are heading to Christ's eternity. There's a lot of people who are diseased with sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ is wants those people to come to him also. But it's us spreading the knowledge of him that we can encourage people to come out of that. And it says, all that besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, as many had touched him were made perfectly whole. But today, the Lord Jesus Christ can make anybody whole from that disease. But we have to tell others about him. We've been through these things, and we've been encouraged by these things. But I want us to look at these things and how the Lord Jesus Christ treats us in crisis and how we should react in crisis. But also, if you're listening and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I will tell you this, that the Lord Jesus Christ is telling you to come. He's telling you to come. And he's saying, you come by yourself. Don't worry about the crowd. You have to come. He's telling you have to come. But he's also saying to come to me. Come to me. You're not coming to a system. You're not coming to a church system or church organization. You're coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you have to come by faith. You have to come by faith. You have to walk on the water. You have to come by faith. That's how you believe our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage us with these few words. In his name's sake, amen.